Mrs. Anna Belville. A young woman of 35, Mrs. Belville died after a long and cruel illness. Lively, spiritual, and endowed with rare intelligence, she possessed rectitude of judgment and eminent moral qualities. She was a wife and devoted mother, and moreover possessed an uncommon integrity of character and an expedient spirit that enabled her to never be caught off guard by the most critical circumstances of life. Without harboring resentment towards individuals against whom she might have much to complain, she was always ready to help them when the occasion arose. Having known her intimately for several years, we were able to follow all the phases of her life as well as all the events of her demise. An accident gave rise to the terrible illness that finally took her away after having held her bedfast for 3 years and prey to the cruelest suffering, which she bore until the end with heroic courage with the natural grace of her spirit. She firmly believed in the existence of the soul in the future life, but concerned herself little with the matter. All her thoughts were related to the present, which was very important to her. Although she had no fear of death and did not seek material pleasures, her life was simple and she could easily do without what she was unable to obtain. Nonetheless, she possessed an innate sentiment of the good and beautiful, which she appreciated in the smallest things. She wanted to live less for herself and more for her children. She knew they needed her and that it was what kept her clinging to life. She understood Spiritism without having studied it deeply. She was interested in it but could never manage to think in terms of the future. The future was indeed a reality to her, but it did not make a profound impression on her spirit. The good she practiced resulted from a natural, spontaneous impulse without any thought of future recompense or punishment. There was much despair over her condition, and we expected to see her leave at any moment, a circumstance of which she herself was fully aware. One day, while her husband was away, she felt herself failing and understood that her time had come. Her sight clouded over, confusion took hold, and she felt all the anguish of separation. However, she held off death until her husband returned. Making a supreme effort, she told herself, "No, I do not want to die." Then she felt her life return, and she recovered the full use of her faculties. When her husband arrived, she told him, "I was about to die, but I wanted to wait until you were next to me because I have a few suggestions for you." Her struggle between life and death was prolonged for 3 more months. Thereafter, a time that was nothing but long and painful agony. A vocation on the day after her death.
"My good friends, thank you for your interest. Moreover, you have been like good relatives to me. Well then, rejoice, for I am happy now. Comfort my poor husband and watch over my children. I went to them right after my passing."
"It seems that your confusion didn't last very long, since you are responding to us quite lucidly."
"Oh, my friends, I suffered so much. You well know that I suffer with resignation. Well, my trial is over. You say that I am completely free, but it isn't so. It is true, however, that I'm no longer suffering, and that is a big relief. At this time, I'm completely healed, I assure you, but I still need the help of your prayers to come back later to work with you."
"What could have been the cause of your suffering for so long?"
"A terrible pest, my friend."
"Could you tell us about it?"
"Oh, let me forget about it for a while. I have paid so dearly for it."
1 month after her death. "Now that you must be completely separated and are more in touch with yourself, we would greatly appreciate a more conclusive hearing with you. Could you tell us what caused your prolonged agony? For 3 months, you hung in the balance between life and death."
Thank you, my friends, for remembering me in your prayers. How soothing they have been, and how much they have worked for my liberation. I still feel the need to be comforted. Continue to pray for me. You understand the value of prayer. Your prayers are not like some banal formula like those murmured by so many others who do not understand the reach and benefit of a good prayer. I am suffering a lot, but my suffering has been largely compensated for because I am allowed quite often to be close to my dear children, whom I left behind with so much regret. I myself prolonged my suffering at that time. The ardent desire to live out of love for my children made me cling to matter and, unlike others, I stood firm and did not want to abandon my unfortunate body, which I so much needed to break with, and which was for me the instrument of such torture. That was the true cause of my long agony. As for the illness and the suffering I endured, they were an expiation for my past. One more debt paid off. Oh, my good friends, if I had but listened to you, how different my life would be right now. What relief I would have felt during my final moments, and how much easier the separation would have been if instead I had confidently abandoned myself to the will of God, to the current that was carrying me away. But rather than looking toward the future that awaited me, I only saw the present that I would be leaving behind. When I return to Earth, I shall be a spiritist, I assure you. What an immense science! I attend your meetings quite often and listen to the counsels transmitted to you. If I could have understood them while on Earth, my suffering would have been lessened. But the time had not yet come. Today, I understand the goodness and justice of God. Although I'm not yet sufficiently evolved to detach myself from the things of life, my children attract me mostly, not so much to spoil them, but to watch over them and to make sure they follow the path that Spiritism is presently tracing out on the earth. Yes, my good friends, I still have serious concerns. One especially, because my children's future depends on it.
Could you provide us any information about the past you regret so much?
Oh, my good friends, I am ready to confess. I scorned someone else's suffering. I watched my mother suffer without showing her any compassion. And I regarded her illness as imaginary. Since she wasn't laid up in bed, I believed she wasn't actually suffering. And I mocked her misery. That is how God punishes.
6 months after her death. Now that more time has passed since you left your material envelope, could you describe your situation and your occupation in the spirit world?
During my earthly life, I was what is commonly called a good person, but I prized my own welfare above anything else. Although I was compassionate by nature, I was not capable of making too much of a sacrifice to ease another's misfortune. Now all that has changed, and although I am still the same me, the me of yesterday has changed. I have grown, and I see that in the invisible world, there are neither categories nor conditions other than personal merit. Here, the one who used to be good and charitable, though poor, is now above the one who used to be rich and who used to humiliate the poor with his alms. I especially watch over those who are afflicted with family troubles, the loss of relatives, or the loss of fortune. My mission is to console and encourage them, and in doing so, I am very happy.
St. Louis's response in the Anna Belleville segment. To answer this question in the affirmative without any restrictions would lead to erroneous conclusions. Under certain conditions, an incarnate spirit may prolong its corporeal existence in order to finish giving what it regards as indispensable instructions. Such a right might be granted, as in this particular case, as well as in many others. This extension of life, however, can only be for a brief time, since it is prohibited for any human being to subvert the order of natural law and cause a return to the earthly life by an act of willpower once the end has been reached. It is nothing but a temporary reprieve. Meanwhile, the fact that it is possible should not lead one to conclude its generality, nor should one believe that it depends solely on the person to prolong his or her life in this way. As a trial for the spirit, or in the interest of concluding a mission, failing organs may receive an infusion of the vital fluid, which will enable them to add a few moments to the physical manifestation of thought. Such cases are the exception and not the rule. Also, one must not see in this incident God's degradation from the immutability of the divine laws, but a consequence of the free will of the human soul, who, at the final moment, is aware of its mission and, despite death, wishes to accomplish what it has until now failed to do. Sometimes this prolongation of vitality may be a form of punishment inflicted on a spirit who doubts the future, and it will necessarily suffer because of it. St. Louis.